As our interest in your prayers this morning, as we look into the scripture, the Lord gave me a burden for a little series, and I don't know if it will just be two or three. I don't know how the Lord's going to lead, but on the subject of the foundation of truth. We live in a time where people are asking the question, what is truth? And we need to have an answer for that. And we live in a time where there are so many different religions. There are so many different groups, fellowships, churches. So what is it that makes God's people different? What is the foundation of truth? Who do we look to find truth? Where do we look to? What is truth? Where do we go? And because everybody professes to have the truth, don't they? I mean, if you just go down this road, you'll encounter numerous church buildings, right? Chapels. And if you stopped and asked him, say, do you all preach and live the truth here? What do you think they'd say? Yes. You think the pastor would come out and say, no, not here. We're not preaching the truth. Not here. Not at this one. Go on down to the next one. Everybody says that. Now, just because everybody says it doesn't mean they all do, right? And just because everybody says they do and they aren't doesn't mean that someone isn't teaching and living truth. So what is truth this morning? And I shared, and I don't know if it's all for here or for some camp meeting, but I shared a few things the Lord was giving to me, and I shared that with Renee, and she says, Michael, you're fixing to step in it. I'm just being real open with that. In other words, you know, you're fixing to get into some, but you know, I don't want to be ashamed of truth. I don't want to be afraid of truth. I don't want to be, she wasn't saying I was wrong. Please don't misunderstand. She just knew that it could be, there are some sensitive subjects. I'm talking to home folks now. You understand what I'm saying? There are sensitive subjects that people can disagree on, but when are we going to stand up for truth? And so what is truth? And how old do you have to be before you can preach truth? You know, how there are some things I would advise a young minister about getting up and dealing with. But when you get to a certain place in life, then you say, well, everyone's afraid to deal with a certain subject. Why should we be afraid to deal with anything? Is that a fair question? Why should we be afraid to deal with any subject? Because if it's opinion, we'll call it opinion. If it's tradition, we'll call it tradition. If it's truth, that's different than opinion. That's different than tradition and standards, although there can be truth interwoven with all of that. So I want us to begin to examine, and my desire is for the Spirit of the Lord to help us this morning to understand the foundation of truth. So we'll begin in the book of 1 Corinthians in the 3rd chapter in the 9th verse. He said, "For we are laborers together with God." It would be better translated, "For we are laborers of God." In other words, we are about God's business. We're laboring for Him. We're not after our own agenda. We're not here to be trying to establish, as some did, as the Pharisees did, going about establishing their own what? Their own righteousness. You see, establishing your own righteousness is different than truth, isn't it? So here he's saying we are laborers together with God. And that's what I want to be this morning. And that's what I want you to be, that we're laborers together with God. We're agents of God. We're ambassadors of who? Of Christ. An ambassador is a representative. Who are you a representative of this morning? Well, I represent this group, or I represent this ministry, or I represent this movement in time. We are called to be ambassadors of Christ Jesus. That everything that we do, the way that we live, the decisions that we make, the doctrines that we teach and preach and live, that we are always not representing our own thoughts, Not representing our own family history, but that we are representatives of Jesus Christ. That is the job of an ambassador. So we are laborers together with God, and you are God's husbandry. You are God's building. He's talking to them, you're God's building. Who can put their name on your building this morning? I want God's name. Do you realize that's why the name of the church is the Church of God? That was not something that a group of ministers voted on somewhere. That's in the Bible. To the Church of God at Corinth. To the Church of God at Galatia. Feed the Church of God which is among you. The scripture says that we are not named after the Son, we are named after the Father. See, this is scripture. That's why we, on our little sign out there, it says Church of God. But you know, this is not the Church of God. This is a chapel. The Church of God is, you are God's building. See, the Spirit of God does not dwell in temples made with hands. He dwells in us. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So when we talk about the Church of God, now this is a foundation of truth. I didn't know we were going to go here this morning, but the foundation of truth is that the church is something within us. It's not the building, because we can have the name and we could be teaching all kinds of false doctrine and living all kinds of sinful lives and say, well, we're part of the Church of God. I've got news for us. We're the Church of God. The scripture in Acts chapter 2 says the Lord added to the church daily such as what? Should be saved. The Church of God is composed of everybody that is saved in the world. That is the Church of God. I don't want to be named by any other name. I'm named after my father. My last name is Smith. I was named after my father. I bear his name. I don't bear the name of the son or the mother. I bear the name of the Father. And that's scriptural that we are to be called. All the family in heaven and earth is named after the Father. And so that's why when someone says, what church are you? It's Church of God. Well, that's not talking about an institution that we started or that we created. That's just going back to the Bible that the Lord added to the church. And the Church of God is those that are saved, and we come together in fellowship. We are part of the visible body of Christ. We are part of that when we are in fellowship with one another. But I don't want to go under any other name. I want to do what the Bible says. And so then, that's why he says, you are God's building. So it's not mine. It's not someone else's. I don't want to be named by the name of a minister that God blessed years ago. I'm not a Lutheran. Martin Luther, did God bless Martin Luther with light of the just shall live by faith? Was that truth? But are we going to follow the man? No, we're not going to follow the man, because it was stuff that was already in the scripture. That had been, the darkness had clouded that and covered it up. But when we began to say, why do you believe the just shall live by faith? Well, because Martin Luther said it. No, it wasn't because Martin Luther said it. It's because it's in the Word of God. But I'm getting into next Sunday on the Word. But with Jesus then, it's because it's truth, because it's in the Word of God. So you're God's building. We're not called after a man. I'm not a Lutheran this morning. I'm not a Wesleyan. Do we believe in the Holy Spirit this morning? Do we believe in the work of sanctification this morning? Because it's biblical. But I'm not a Wesleyan. Do we believe in the concept of the unity of God's people this morning? I hope we do. It's biblical. That Jesus prayed, his desire was that we would all be one as he and the Father is one. That division would fall, that walls that separate God's people would fall. There are still some walls that need to fall this morning. There are still some divisionary things that are hindering God's people from being in fellowship. God's plan was that we all be one together, in fellowship together. It's not his will that we be divided in all these different groups and we're here and you're there. That was not the will of God. And so then we can look back at the Holiness Reformation that took place after the Civil War in the late 1800s in this country. There's a great holiness reformation that actually not just in this country, but around the world. God bless some of the, what we would say, pioneer ministers of that time. D.S. Warner, and there's a number of ministers, not only in this country, but in other countries in the world. Are we followers of them? Are we Warnerites? I'm not a Lutheran, I'm not a Wesleyan, and I'm not a Warnerite. We can see how God blessed these people and these ministries through time, but that is not what we're called to do, is follow those men. The foundation of you are God's building, okay? So let's keep reading a little bit. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. So Paul was going into places and he was laying a foundation of truth. And that's what he was referring to. I'm the architect in the sense, not the architect, but I'm coming in, I'm the builder. But what does a builder build off of? Blueprint, plans. And who made the plans? God did, the architect. So we are to be, Paul is saying, I'm a wise master builder, but there's an architect, and that's God. This is God's building. It's not the one that put the windows in. It's the one that designed it. In the church, it's the same way. It is God's building. If we are following His truth and His word, it's God's building. And so Paul went on to say, I'm a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth. How are you building this morning? See, this is where we start talking about what is truth. Because how are we building? You know, what materials are you using in your spiritual house this morning? What are you following to help frame your decisions of life? In what you're going to do? And where you're going to go, and how you're going to talk, and what you're going to watch, and what you're going to listen to, and how you're going to act with your family, and how you see marriage, and how you worship. What are you going to use to define those parameters in your life? So you see, we can come up with our own ideas, we can have our opinions, but there is a truth this morning. There is a truth. And so he was saying, be careful how you build. Be careful how you build. He said, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is what? Jesus Christ. I'm a wise man. I laid a foundation, but then he went on and he explained what foundation he laid. He said it was Jesus Christ. He said, now if any man build upon this, well, he goes on. We won't take time to continue with that now. But other foundation can no man lay. There is a foundation this morning of truth that if it is anything other than Jesus Christ, we are building on the wrong foundation. If we as individuals in our families, as a congregation, as a people, if we build on anything other than Christ Jesus, we are in error. It does not matter what our church history is. It does not matter how God has blessed us in the past. If we build and promote any man or any institution other than Christ Jesus, we are in error. Now, some preachers would say, can I get an amen? But I'm just going to say this morning, I would that we get hold of this. Because there are so many teachings and doctrines out in the world. Other foundation can no man lay that is Christ Jesus. The foundation is Christ and Christ alone. Can I say that again for us to be sure we get it? The foundation is Christ. And Christ alone. All right, now, to back this up in the chat, in Isaiah, the prophets foretold the coming of Christ. In Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, it says, therefore saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. There's something that will stand the test of time, that will weather the storms. Ideas and philosophies and ideologies and politics and doctrines of men and fellowship and ministers will come and go. But there is something that God has laid as a foundation. and that was Jesus Christ. Do we believe that this morning? There's only one foundation, and that's Jesus Christ. And if we build as a people on how to live life, on anything except Jesus Christ, we are going to be in error. We will begin to give glory to men. We will begin to give glory to men's ways. And what happens with that is then we will begin to develop a system of rules that if we follow those, we will be acceptable in a group. And then who gets the glory from that? It's us, as opposed to Christ Jesus. Everything that we live, whether it's good traditions, whether it's standards, but ultimately the truth that we teach and that we live and that we practice, if anyone gets the glory except Jesus Christ, the glory is going to stop. The prophet said, speaking of God, he said, I am the Lord and that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. So when God stops getting the glory is going to stop. When you find groups that the Lord has blessed and they begin to get a self-righteous air about themselves, you're going to see the blessing of God start to lift off them as a people. Because Christ is the foundation of truth. Jesus Christ, and no other foundation can man lay. So I'd like us to turn then to a very familiar incident that happened in the 17th chapter of Matthew. I wish I would have been there at that mount where Jesus was transfigured. But since I wasn't at that mountain, I want to follow and experience the truth of what happened that day. In the 17th chapter of Matthew, in the first verse, it says, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them up into a high mountain apart. And there's lessons right there. You realize Jesus didn't take all 12 disciples. He took 3. I don't know if there's any jealousy going on, or he only took these 3 to the Garden of Gethsemane. There are only a few of them that saw Jairus' daughter raised up. There was an inner circle there, but the Lord was preparing them. So he brought them to a high mountain, and he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. Wouldn't that have been wonderful to have been there in the presence of Jesus and Moses? And what did Moses represent? He represented the law. And then Elias, what did he represent? He represented the prophets. So there were there with Moses and Elijah were there in their presence, the law and the prophets and Jesus Christ. These different dispensations represented. What a wonderful place to have been. Well, Peter thought so as well. Peter said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. This is exciting. I mean, we've been with you, Jesus, but now you've been translated. There was some, Moses was there in physical form, and Elias and Jesus was there, and they were covered in white. And he said, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Let's build a tent for each one of you. Let's not go away. Let's just stay here. And we'll build a place here. And God listened to that. And you know, he has a message for us today in what happened here at the Mount of Transfiguration. It said, while he yet spoke. In other words, I think the Lord God did not want there to be any ambiguity to this situation. It didn't happen an hour later that God spoke. God spoke when Peter was saying, oh, this is good to be here. Let's build a tabernacle, Moses and Elias and Jesus. And while he yet spoke, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Three words. Hear ye him. Why didn't he say, yes, listen to Moses and listen to Elias, the law and the prophets, and then, you know, focus on Jesus? No, it was exclusive. I believe in an exclusive truth this morning. I still believe in an exclusive truth this morning. God said, hear ye him. In other words, the moral law had been given by Moses. God gave the moral law to Moses, and the prophets divinely prophesied of the coming of Christ. Oh, if there's prophecy. What is the religious world getting excited about today? Miracles. Prophecy. More in other countries than in this country. In some countries I've been to, you will see billboards and stuff and papers all over the cities and in the villages and in the names of the church, and you will see the word prophecy in them. In other words, there's a lot of credence given. There's prophecy here. He's a prophet. He works miracles. And that's what the world is looking at. And I wonder what God is saying this morning. Your true salvation is not founded in the law of Moses. It is not founded in the prophets. Salvation is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. It is only in the name of Jesus. And there is coming a day where every knee is going to bow and every mouth is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So why then this morning would so many people waste their times in following a man other than Christ Jesus? Why would people follow and say, but listen to brother so-and-so. Have you heard him preach? Wow, you can really feel the Spirit when he preaches. And then what he begins to say, it's because he said it. And they begin to get lifted up. And people, they begin to get a following. And pretty soon you've got a congregation. And then you have a movement. And then you have a wide people. And they are looking to a man. There is no other man that is a foundation of truth except Christ Jesus. And anybody that says they are that foundation is a false prophet and is not of God. They can prophesy and it may come to pass. They may pray and devils may be cast out, but they are not of God. Because there are ministers that come as angels of light. They come deceptively as an angel of light because even Satan does that. But every miracle is not of God. Every prophecy is not of God. The foundation of truth is not because, well, brother so-and-so, he really was powerful. And we begin to take everything he says. Saints, we need to be like the Bereans. We need to be like the Bereans that go and search it out. Now we're getting back to the Word because, you know, Christ Jesus is tied with the Word, isn't he? We'll get there. But there is no other man, and I want to encourage you, let's read the next verse, what he said to do. Jesus came and he touched them. I believe this was part of that compassionate Lord because they were afraid. They fell down on their face when God spoke to them. And I think they had to be feeling some reproof. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Yes, we respect Moses and the prophets. It's not a message of disrespect this morning. But I respect those that point you to Christ Jesus. Because he is the foundation of truth. And they were afraid. So Jesus came, it's like, it's all right. It's okay. Don't be afraid. And it said, when he said, arise and be not afraid. And it said, when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw what? No man save Jesus only. They saw no man. You know, that's what the Lord would have his people do this morning. People say, but what about, you know, but Martin Luther said this, so we had got to do it that way. Well, Martin Luther also stayed up long into the night in the bars drinking beer. Is that, so we're going to follow Martin Luther?
I appreciate, you see, he lived to the truth that he knew at that time. But he was a man. The Wesleys, we're not going, our point is not to go through and criticize everybody. God used them in their time. The Wesley brothers, D.S. Warner, there are people today that say, but D.S. Warner said this. I can point to you things that they said that I don't believe are right. How so? Because you measure it to what the Word of God says. Or maybe there's a little area, but God blessed them. God used them. I don't lightly throw out anything, but I'm not going to accept something because a man said it, but I want to come back and say, I want my life to give glory to Jesus Christ. I am not here this morning to perpetuate a history of a man. When you come in and you say, well, I want to, you know, brother, my pastor was Brother Austis Wilson. I am not here to say, well, I want to look like Brother Austis Wilson. I want to talk like Brother Austis Wilson. If Brother Austis Wilson said it, then I'll do it. Because where does that place Brother Austis Wilson? Almost as my little God, isn't it? But when he says something and I saw God blessing his life and he's one of my cloud of witnesses, then I want to look at his life and see where God's blessings were. And it's, I want that same blessing. So how did he get there? He got there by coming to the foundation of truth, which is Jesus Christ. And I know he would point me to the same place if he were here this morning. He would say, don't take it because I said it, but follow Christ. Follow Christ. So we don't discount, we're God's buildings, we're workers together, and we're here to encourage one another, and preach to one another, and testify to one another. But the glory is to go to God. And how we live our lives, and people say, what do you believe? What church are you? I'm part of the church of God because I've been washed in the blood. And why I believe what I believe, and who I want to lift up and glorify, is no one but Christ Jesus. That's the foundation of truth. And anybody that lays any other foundation is a false movement, is a false church, is a false prophet, because Christ Jesus is the only foundation, and he's the only way we're going to be able to make it to heaven. Is this true this morning? We need to get our eyes off of men. That doesn't mean that you say, okay, well, I don't need to listen to this preaching, then I'll get my eyes off the one that's in front of me. No, but I will say this. Only listen as you are pointed to truth. Only listen as it points you to the true foundation of truth. And that starts with Christ Jesus. And he is the one that is to be lifted up and glorified. That's who we're to be ambassadors of. If I start carrying around a picture of someone in my billfold, say, well, this is the founder of my church. Who is the founder of your church? It's Jesus Christ. It goes all the way back to the cross. It goes all the way back to the day of Pentecost. He's the founder. People say, where are we going to stop, go back 80 years ago? Or we can go back to Brother Austis or Brother Sammons or Brother D.S. Warner or Brother C.E. Orr or go on to the Wesleys or to Martin Luther. Where are we going to go? The founder of the church of God is Jesus Christ. So when someone says, where did your church start? It started back around 30 or 33 AD at the cross. Who founded it? Who's the head of your church? Christ is the head of the body. Is that not scripture? In the book of Colossians 1 as well as Ephesians, it is Christ is the head of the body. I practically believe that this morning. When I've had people tell me, say, "Not, yeah, I know everybody says that, but who really is the head of your church?" And I look at him and say, yeah, really? He really is. We're not set up like other organizations or other churches. Christ really is the head of the church. There is not one ministry you say, well, he's the head of this body. There is not one. It's Christ Jesus. That's what makes it different. He's the foundation of truth. And so over then, we need to get our eyes off of man. In 2 Peter in the first chapter, and we will be done shortly. But in the book of 2 Peter in the first chapter, beginning with the 16th verse, he said, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." We're not here just following these stories that have been told. We were eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ.
devise fables. What's your foundation this morning? Where was your church founded? Why do you believe what you believe this morning? You know, I think all of us need to take a hard look sometimes at what we believe and why we believe it. And where did it come from? Why do we say what we say is truth? I think the Lord, it's time that God's people start digging into truth this morning. There's a lot of people that are sitting in the body of Christ that you could say, well, they're third, fourth, fifth generation from maybe where the Holy Reformation was in the 1800s. And people get lazy and casual, and they pretty soon start saying, well, my church teaches, and they don't even know what they believe or why they believe it or what's right or what not, and we just go along with a group. You know, the group's not going to get you to heaven. It's personal this morning, so we need to come back and say, what is the foundation of truth? And the Scripture says, it's not your pastor this morning. I'm saying it, but it's because it's here. Christ is the foundation of truth. We're not following cunningly devised fables and inventions of men. The coming of Christ was prophesied, and it was fulfilled, and it was witnessed. People today are twisting Scripture. They are twisting prophecy to fit themselves in. Because if I can fit myself into a prophecy somehow, then what is that? That gives me my creds, right? I can find something in Revelation or Daniel, or I'll try to work something to put me in, to make me a fulfillment of a prophecy. Then who gets glory from that? Lord, help us to look to Jesus. Help us to get our eyes on Jesus only and not man. And then he went on to say, for he received from God the Father, this is talking about Jesus, honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. See, that's what we just read in Matthew. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard, and we were with him in the holy mount. So you see, this there's reason why we have this. And he said, we also then have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. We have a word of prophecy that has been confirmed. Christ was prophesied about. It was fulfilled. His death, his birth, his life, where he was to be born, who he was to be born, how he was to be born. All of those things were prophesied. And they came to pass just like the Scripture said it would. That prophecy has been confirmed, so we have a more sure word. We believe today not only because we read a prophecy, but now our faith is fixed as well in the reality and the eyewitness of Jesus Christ. The voice of God at Christ's baptism, at his transfiguration, confirmed the prophecy. This is my Son, and now we are not living in darkness, but the day star has arisen in our hearts. That Christ Jesus is here. And then the last couple of verses here, he said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The prophecies of Christ, they were many. And they were recorded, they came to pass. They were not a private interpretation. In other words, they did not come by opinion. They did not come by opinion or philosophy, but it was given by God. And the prophecy did not come by the prophet's thoughts or his own ideas. It was divine, the divine will of God. And we see it has been prophesied and it came to pass. And that was Christ Jesus. He is the foundation of truth this morning. So many people are going away. We see people, even statistically, and I'm not just talking about fellowships that say Church of God. And again, that's a biblical name. But around the world, in the U.S. especially, congregations are getting smaller and smaller. People are going away. People are doing their own thing and their own ideas. And many that stay are being blinded to the essence of truth. What is truth? So are we too going to go away this morning? as those that even left Jesus when Jesus turned to his disciples and said, are you two going to go away? And they said, Lord, where are we going to go? And then why did he, what was his reason? Because thou hast the words of eternal life. Eternal life is found in Jesus Christ this morning and him alone. I do not have a heaven to give to you this morning. I don't have one. This fellowship that we know and that we love does not have a heaven to give to you. The great cloud of witnesses that we respect this morning, those that have stood for the faith, that we appreciate their lives and their example and their teaching, they do not have a heaven to give to you this morning. They can come and they can shake your hand if they were here today. They can put their hand on their head and it still will not save your soul. The only one that can do that is Jesus Christ, and he is the foundation of truth. And I want my life, my beliefs, my doctrines, and my preaching to always lift up Christ and his way, because in him is eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Amen.